is Wealth Wake Up with Dick Donahue on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
Welcome to Wealth Wake Up this Sunday morning. Dick Donahue with you here on KGMI. As always, thank you for being with us. Well, we're going to start out our weekly commentary today, and we're going to talk about what we think is Biden's ill-advised Alaska oil ban that bodes to continue pain at the pump. On Earth Day, once again, President Joe Biden is putting the American people last and environmentalists first, with his actions making swaths of Alaska's off-limits to the development of oil, natural gas, and critical minerals. America's air is getting cleaner every year. Carbon emissions have declined by 1,000 million metric tons over the last 16 years. Even if America were to abandon all fossil fuels, global temperatures would only decline 0.2 of a degree Celsius by 2100, according to government models. Oil prices are more than $80 per barrel. Americans are frustrated that gasoline prices are rising. Why then, in an election year, is the Interior Department banning oil development on 13 million acres in Alaska, including 40% of the Alaska National Petroleum Reserve? Oil prices are set by expectations of future production, and Biden's actions are signaling that less oil and gas will be produced on his watch. White House Senior Advisor for Climate Policy John Podesta said in a statement that today's historic actions to protect lands and waters in the Western Arctic will ensure continued subsistence use by Alaska Native communities while conserving these special places for future generations. With these new announcements, the Biden-Harris administration has now protected more than 41 million acres of lands and waters. Now, Podesta is former president of the Center for American Progress, which has the goal of an equitable and just path to a 100% clean economy with net zero climate pollution, protection of 30% of lands and waters. CAPS donors are undoubtedly praising Podesta for the White House actions. This comes at a time when America, Russia, and China are in a race for valuable deep-sea minerals to power their electric vehicle batteries. America has some of the largest offshore Arctic deposits, but will cede them to foreign adversaries if American companies are not permitted to mine. The Interior Department also failed to approve the 211-mile Ambler Road project, which would link the Dalton Highway to the Ambler River and open up new areas for copper mining and other resource development. Rules from the Environmental Protection Agency require 70% of new car sales and 25% of new truck sales be electric by 2032. And the road would have added to available critical minerals for electric batteries. Similarly, Biden has utilized the Antiquities Act to create 5 national monuments, collectively spanning more than 1.5 million acres of federal land. And while these proclamations are ostensibly aimed at preserving areas for historical and archaeological importance, they often come at the expense of resource development. People reliant on logging, mining, and energy extraction have felt the brunt of this damage inflicted by the Biden regulations. Biden recently designated nearly 1 million acres of land in Arizona to create the ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon National Monument. Just as Alaska has copper deposits, which are now off limits, Arizona has some of America's richest uranium deposits, making future uranium mining operations impossible. Biden's executive branch overreach makes America weaker and more dependent on China for critical materials. It takes away local communities' ability to provide economic stability for themselves and the nation. American oil companies and refineries have watched Biden take step after step to destroy their industry so as to appease environmentalists, all the while blaming these same producers for fuel shortages and lack of critical materials. As well as cutting off supplies of oil, gas, and minerals, Biden has placed climate czars at the Securities and Exchange Commission and at the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. These officials discourage companies from investing in pipeline and fossil fuel equipment and banks from lending to companies to provide financing. At current usage rates, the nation's recoverable reserves are large enough for at least 2 centuries of petroleum supply. Moreover, we are always finding more reserves or improving technology in order to access oil more efficiently. But the U.S. Energy Information Administration sees no prospect of global oil demand decreasing, between now and 2050. 90% of Americans' transportation needs are met with petroleum, and electric vehicle sales are slowing. Petroleum products are used for much more than transportation. Oil is used as feedstock for everything from pharmaceuticals and plastics to clothing. America has an abundance of energy and critical minerals if politicians would just allow access to them. Biden is playing politics with domestic and global energy markets. Average Americans don't want to buy costly electric vehicles and are collateral damage, stuck with soaring electricity and fuel costs. It's no gift for Earth Day. Well, let's take a look at our global wrap-up for the week, and we're seeing that the U.S. inflation is staying stubbornly high. Global equities were firmer on the week, though trading was choppy. Easing geopolitical concerns and generally upbeat earnings reports helped offset interest rate jitters. The yield on the U.S. 10-year Treasury note rose to 4.67% from 4.63% a week ago, though it traded as high as 4.735 on Thursday, amid sticky inflation readings. The price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude oil edged up to $84.83.10 a week ago, and volatility as measured by the CBOE Volatility Index, or VIX, fell to 15.4 from 18.7 last Friday. And some of our macro news, we're seeing that sticky U.S. inflation is pushing yields higher. The 10-year Treasury yields traded as high as 4.375% on Thursday after the core PCE price index measure used to calculate the first quarter GDP rose 3.7% quarter over quarter, despite the economy expanding at a slower than expected 1.6% annual rate. Friday's monthly core PCE measure, released along with personal income and spending data, rose 0.3 of month over month and 2.8% year over year. And while the GDP figures were lower than expected, consumer spending remained robust, with most of the drag on growth coming from elevated levels of imports and a build in inventories. In March, personal income rose 0.5%, while personal spending grew 0.8. Markets headed into Friday's data, fearful of another upside inflation surprise after Thursday's data, so yields edged lower to around 4.67% as Friday's numbers came in close to forecasts. However, January and February core PCE readings were revised upward, making the path to future U.S. Federal Reserve rate cuts less certain. Markets currently anticipate one rate cut before year-end, and that will not take place until November. And we're seeing that the U.S. is banning non-compete clauses for many. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission on Tuesday issued a rule that prohibits companies from enforcing existing non-compete agreements on anyone other than senior executives. The Federal Trade Commission says that the non-compete clauses, which typically prevent workers from taking a new job or starting a business for a certain period of time after leaving an employer, hamper competition for labor and result in lower pay and reduced benefits for workers. Businesses that use them say that they are an effective way to protect their intellectual property, customer relationships, and other investments. Several business groups immediately sued in order to block the ban in federal court. And the Department of Labor has issued new fiduciary rules, which applies to financial advisors like ourselves. The U.S. Department of Labor this week approved a rule that would extend the fiduciary requirements under ERISA law to all advisors, brokers, and insurance agents who provide advice on individual retirement accounts, including rollovers. The change begins going into effect on the 23rd of September, and the industry will then have a year to fully comply. Earlier efforts to impose this fiduciary rule have been struck down or narrowed by the courts. I will say that we have been in compliance pretty much all the way along with the protected rules, so not really going to have a huge impact on the way that we are doing business, but it will affect others. And a few of our quick hits here. We saw, according to the University of Michigan survey, one-year inflation expectations rose to 3.2% from 2.9% in April, while 5 to 10-year inflation expectations rose to 3% from 2.8%. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening.
Get down and boogie as the winner of a new car. It's electric. Barron's Clean Energy Sweepstakes is on now with your chance to win a Ford Mustang Mach-E and an EV charger. You heard that right. Work with the clean energy experts at Barron and you could zoom away in a sleek Ford Mustang Mach-E. All yours for three electrifying years, plus an EV charger installed by Barron Electrical. Go solar, tankless, upgrade to a heat pump, you name it. Earn qualifying clean energy points for all things green. 1 point equals one entry. Your five-time award-winning clean energy company, Barron, is here to transform your whole home with energy-efficient solutions and maybe even your commute. Right now, get a free heat pump with purchase of a solar or battery backup system, plus 16 clean energy points to win that electric car. Find yourself in a sporty new ride and call Barron today during Barron's It's Electric Clean Energy Sweepstakes, on now through June 30th.
Barron, your full-service HVAC, electrical, and plumbing contractor. Our mission, improving lives.
No purchase necessary. Visit BarronHeating.com for details and official rules.
Staying connected with your community each Saturday at noon with KGMI's Community Connection as local business leaders share their expert advice. Sponsored by
Lighthouse Mission Ministries, Dewey Griffin Subaru, Feller Heating and Air Conditioning, Contact Counseling, and Guided Solutions.
Community Connection, Saturdays at noon on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
Welcome back to Wolf Wake Up. Dick Donahue with you this Sunday morning here on KGMI. Okay, got questions for us? Give us a call. Love to work with you. We're Asset Advisors. We are located out on the Pacific Highway. That's old Highway 99 in the Pacific Commerce Center, just south of Wilson's Furniture and next to Northwest Hot Tubs. Our address is 5060 Pacific Highway, Suite 101, Ferndale, 98248. Our phone number, 360-733-1200. And check out our website, wealthwakeup.com. Okay, well, continuing on with some of our quick hits here, the Bank of Japan kept rates unchanged at its Friday meeting despite rapid yen depreciation this week. Bank of Japan Governor Keizo Yuda downplayed the weak currency's impact on inflation, setting off another wave of yen selling. Markets are on guard for potential intervention to halt the slide, which reached 157.39 to the dollar. It's a fresh 34-year low. And beginning the 1st of July, the Swiss National Bank will increase its minimum reserve ratio to 4% from 2.5%. For comparison's sake, the European Central Bank's minimum reserve ratio is 1%. And ECB Vice President this week said that a June rate cut seems like a done deal in the absence of an inflation shock. We saw U.S. home sales rose 8.8% month over month in March to a 693,000 annual pace. It's much stronger than expected outcome. March's pending home sales rose 3.4% from February. And the U.S. Congress passed a bill this week authorizing President Biden to seize Russian dollar assets. But according to Bloomberg, the majority of the approximately $280 billion in Russian frozen funds lies in the European Union, where a number of countries, including Germany and France, have expressed reservations over the legality of outright seizure. And retail sales in Canada fell for a second straight month in February, declining 0.1%. In China summoned Germany's ambassador on Thursday after four Germans were arrested in suspicion of spying for China. The total fertility rate in the United States fell to 1.62 births per woman in 2023. That's a 2% decline from a year earlier, federal data released on Thursday showed. That's the lowest rate recorded since the government began tracking the data back in the 1930s. And consumer confidence in Germany rose to its highest level in 2 years, according to their new survey released on Thursday. The Business Climate Index also showed a marked uptick this week. South Korea's economy expanded at a greater than expected 3.4% year over year in the first quarter, according to the Bank of Korea. And on Thursday, the leaders of 18 nations, including the United States, called for the immediate release of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. We also had the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, who said he is considering resigning amid an investigation into potential influence peddling for his wife. And French President Emmanuel Macron is said to be favoring installing former ECB President and Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi as the head of the European Commission. That's replacing Ursula von der Leyen, whose terms are set to expire in coming months. And on a visit to Shanghai, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken called on China to level the playing field for businesses operating in the country. After months of disagreement, the U.S. Congress has passed a bill that provides $95 billion in foreign aid for the Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. President Biden signed the bill into law on Wednesday and said he would start following to Ukraine within hours. And the FTSE 100 closed at a record high, 8,078.9 on Thursday. That's amid solid earnings from the British blue chips and a takeover bid for a minor Anglo-American. And in earnings news here in the United States, with about 45% of the constituents of the S&P 500 having reported for the first quarter of 24, blended earnings per share, which combines reported data and estimates for those that have yet to report, shows that earnings slightly rose around 3.3% compared with the same quarter a year ago. According to data from FactSet, sales growth is up 4% year over year. And we got our report on the first quarter GDP, the initial report. And the Fed is not going to like the report on GDP. Yes, real GDP growth came in surprisingly slow in the first quarter, growing at a lukewarm 1.6% annual rate versus a consensus expected 2.5% pace. But that 1.6% rate is the slowest growth rate in almost 2 years. It's lower than the forecast from any economics group on Bloomberg. However, we like to focus on core GDP, which includes consumer spending, business fixed investment, and home building, while excluding government purchases, inventories, and international trade, the latter which are all very volatile from quarter to quarter. And core GDP increased at a healthy 3.1% rate in the first quarter, with consumer spending growing at a 2.5% annual rate. Fixed business investment growing at 2.9% rate, though home building is up at a 13.9% rate. Meanwhile, inflation remained a big problem in the first quarter, with GDP prices up 3.1% annual rate. Personal consumption prices are up at a 3.4% pace, and core consumption prices are up at a 3.7% rate. None of these figures are close enough to the Federal Reserve's 2% target for monetary policymakers to start cutting rates. Nominal GDP, which is real GDP plus inflation, increased to 4.8% rate in the first quarter. It's still up from 5.5% a year ago. Yet another figure indicating that tighter monetary policy has yet to seriously bite. In turn, this means short-term interest rates are going to stay higher for longer. The risk of an eventual recession is not off the table. Some analysts and investors believe that economic growth is continuing only because of a supply-side boom based on AI and other innovations. But if so, this supply-side boom would help push down inflation. Instead, we think the economy is feeling the lingering effects of loose money, which is keeping both growth and inflation elevated. In other news, new claims for unemployment insurance declined 5,000 last week to 207,000. Continuing claims dropped 15,000 to 1.781 million. Job growth continues in the month of April. And we got the personal income and consumption report out this week, and incomes and spending rose notably in March, but unfortunately for the Fed, inflation also continues to tick higher. PCE prices, which is the Federal Reserve's preferred measure of inflation, rose 0.3% in March, bringing the 12-month comparison to 2.7% versus 2.5% last month, has risen at a 4.4% annual rate in the last 3 months. If the Fed wants confidence and evidence that inflation is sustainably trending toward their 2% target before they start rating cuts, the report showed quite the opposite. Core prices, which exclude the ever-volatile food and energy categories, rose 0.3% in March, or up 2.8% versus a year ago. The Fed has prioritized a subset of inflation dubbed the super core, which is services only, no goods, excluding food, energy, and housing. That measure rose 0.4% in March, is up 3.5% versus a year ago. That was versus 3.4% last month. So no matter which measure you choose, they all remain above the Fed's target. And given ongoing shipping disruptions in the Red Sea, geopolitical concerns, as well as unexpected events like the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse near Baltimore, there is an upside risk of inflation numbers in the months ahead. So looking at consumers shows incomes and spending both accelerated of late. Personal income rose 0.5% in March, is up 4.7% in the last year. Income gains in March were led by private sector wages and salaries, which rose 0.7% on the month, or up 5.5% in the last year. Meanwhile, and worrisome, government pay rose 0.8% in March. It's up 8.5% in the last year. That's the largest 12-month increase in more than three decades. We don't think the growth in government pay is sustainable or good for the overall U.S. economy. Consumer spending rose a robust 0.8% in March, with rising spending in both goods and services. And the 1.3% gain in goods purchases was the largest single monthly gain since January of last year, as consumers picked up spending on gasoline, food, and recreational goods. Spending on goods is up 3.6% in the last year. Spending on services rose 0.6% in March. That was led by healthcare and housing services. They're up 6.9% in the last year. So we expect services to continue to lead the charge in 2024, but with growth tempering as the economy slows. In other recent news on the housing front, pending home sales, which are contracts on existing homes, rose 3.4% in March, following a 1.6% increase in February. You plug these figures into our models and it suggests that existing home sales, which are counted at closing, will rise modestly in April. On the manufacturing front, the Kansas City Manufacturing Index, which is a measure of factory activity in that region, fell to -8 in April from -7 in March, following a similar negative reading earlier this week from the Richmond Fed. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI. We'll be back shortly.
We don't have the usual traffic jams that they have in the big city, but sometimes things happen to snarl everything up. Depend on KGMI to keep you cruising to your destination with KGMI Traffic Alerts. We'll tell you where the trouble spots are, and if you see problems on the road, give us a call at 360-676-5464 so we can spread the word. KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com.
My name is Sarah, and I just won $1,000.
Sarah's another winner in our Grand in Your Hand contest. What are you going to spend it on, Sarah?
I'm not sure yet. Something special for me, I'd say. Probably a plane ticket.
You could be next. Just listen for our $1,000 keyword each weekday during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours. Enter before midnight at mybellinghamnow.com. It's that easy.
Try at least once a day.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand next.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Really sat down and taken a good look at how much you're paying for home and auto insurance? I'm Derek Barnes, and by now you might know that my wife Denise and I own D&D Insurance in Ferndale. Over the years, we've seen individuals paying $300, $400, and sometimes $500 a year too much for their home and auto insurance. If we're going to be good stewards of the money provided to us, I think it's prudent we review our insurance and financial needs. Likewise, we've been given families to take care of, and if something untimely were to happen to us, it's good to know that we can still provide for our families even when we're not around. Life insurance gives us that opportunity. Don't put it off for another day. Pick up the phone and start making some wise choices. Call the agents at D&D Insurance. They'll point you in the right direction. 392-8159 or visit us online at dndinsurance.com. We look forward to meeting you.
Hi, I'm Tom Borthwick, the Diamond King. I own Borthwick Jewelry in Ferndale, and we sell lots of bridal sets, 5 to 10 a week. Why? Because we're better. I could tell you a whole bunch of reasons, but it all comes down to we're better. You will be happy, I promise, when you buy from Borthwick Jewelry. We have engagement rings, bridal sets, rings waiting for you to pick a center stone, gold jewelry, gemstone jewelry, and a huge selection of silver jewelry. Shop at the store that won the best jewelry store in Whatcom County 2 years in a row, Borthwick Jewelry in Ferndale.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have 4 keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all 4 every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
Get informed and inspired with Saturday Morning Live on KGMI. Join a group of knowledgeable hosts as they present a variety of guests and viewpoints on issues important to our area and to you and your family. Sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC, each Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Harness the power of the sun, reduce your carbon footprint, and save on your energy bills. Explore the advantages of going solar with West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up. Dick Donahue with you this Sunday morning. We're going to continue on with our economic reports for the week. We're going to start out again with the March durable goods report. And durable goods rose a healthy 2.6% in March, with gains heavily concentrated around the typically volatile transportation sector. The largest gain was commercial aircraft, up 30.6% in March, while motor vehicles and parts rose a solid 2.1%. If you strip out the volatile transportation sector, orders rose 0.2% in March. That was up 0.1%, including revisions. A very modest 1% in the past year. If you factor in inflation, which have been tempered on the goods side of the economy following a surge during COVID, and orders are roughly flat over the past 12 months. Looking at the details of the report shows rising orders across most major non-transportation categories, led by computers and electronic products, which were up 0.8%. Fabricated metal products were up 0.2%. Machinery was up 0.1%, and they were partially offset by declining orders for primary metals, which are down 0.5%. The most important number in the release, which is core shipments, a key input for business investment in the calculus of GDP, rose 0.2% in March, is up 2% annualized rate in the first quarter versus the fourth quarter average. The growth in shipments was moderated significantly since the start of 22, and we expect this trend to continue as the economy feels the lagged effects of the Federal Reserve's actions and tightened monetary policy. Consistent with other economic data, orders and shipments for durable goods have been choppy of late, and we expect a number of factors are going to keep the path toward rocky as we move through 2024. Monetary policy from the Federal Reserve, the withdrawal symptoms following the COVID-era economic morphine that artificially boosts both consumer and business spending, and the ongoing shift towards services that likely means goods-related activity will soften in the year ahead, even as some durables that facilitate services remain healthy. In other recent news, the Federal Reserve reported that the M2 measure on money supply rose 0.4% in March, but remains down 0.3% from a year ago. It is down 4.1% from its peak in April of 22. This is not a good sign for real GDP growth in the year ahead, and it is consistent with our view that a recession risk still remains. And looking at March's new home sales report, we saw that the sales came in stronger than expected in March, driven by broad-based gains as more inventories give buyers a greater number of options to choose from. Notably, the 8.8% gain in March was the largest in more than a year. It looks like the upward trend in new home sales that began in 22 as the economy reopened is still intact, though volatility in interest rates continues to play an outsized role. Mortgage rates have been surging again recently due to a recent string of bad inflation reports that have led to expectations of fewer cuts by the Federal Reserve in short-term interest rates later this year. We can expect an impact on new home sales in April's report in a month as higher refinancing costs once again hit affordability. Assuming a 20% down payment, the rise in mortgage rates since the Federal Reserve began its current tightening cycle amounts to a 28% increase in monthly payments on a new 30-year mortgage for the median price home. The good news for potential buyers is that that median sales price for new homes has fallen 13.3% from its peak in 2022. However, it is important to note that this drop in median prices is likely due to the mix of homes on the market, including more lower-priced options as developers complete smaller properties. Supply has also put more downward pressure on median prices for new homes than existing homes. The supply of completed single-family homes is up nearly 190% versus its bottom in 2022. Total inventories have continued to climb higher as well, hitting a new post-pandemic high in March. This contrasts with the market for existing homes, which continues to struggle with an inventory problem, often due to the difficulty of convincing current homeowners to give up their low fixed rate mortgages that locked in during the pandemic. This does not mean that housing is getting more affordable per square foot, with the Census Bureau reporting median prices on the basis of 45% from 2019 to 2020, the most recent data available. Though not a recipe for a significant rebound, many inventories giving potential buyers a wider array of options has continued to put a floor under the new home sales. One problem with assessing housing activity is that the Federal Reserve held interest rates artificially low for more than a decade. And with rates now more in a more normal range, the sticker shock on mortgage rates for potential buyers is very real. However, we've had some strong housing markets with rates at current levels in the past, and as long as the job market remains strong, home buyers will continue to adjust. In manufacturing news, the Richmond Fed Index, a measure of mid-Atlantic factory activity, rose to minus 7 in April from minus 11 in March. Let's talk a little bit here about a blueprint for tax-efficient retirement. You know, minimizing tax liabilities preserves wealth. Creating a tax-efficient withdrawal strategies to generate retirement income can add up to 7 years of longevity or more for a retired household's portfolio. Recognizing this, we want to emphasize the importance of holistic wealth management, focusing not only on investment management, but income and tax planning and managing as well. And to create this holistic approach, we look at getting retirement ready, like building a new home. You need to consider that your retirement savings are your plot of land. The next step would be to hire an architect. The tax planner acts on this architect of your financial plan. A tax planner will consider your unique dynamics, assess the lay of the land, and assess your aspirations for retirement. They will create the blueprint for your retirement income, investment, and tax strategies. With that blueprint in mind, the crucial step is execution. You got to enter the tax manager, the builder who translates these blueprints into action. Their role encompasses constant oversight, ensuring the implementation of tax-focused investment strategies, tax-efficient withdrawal strategies, and forward-looking tax reduction strategies. This ongoing proactive management distinguishes them from tax preparers, the inspectors who serve as financial historians who memorialize the past. The good tax manager understands that there are three distinct time phases to manage: the working years, the retirement years, and the ultimate transfer at death. So step one, you need to understand the order of money. Not all money is taxed the same. How you initially save for your wealth will determine how it's ultimately taxed. Think of dividing your money into three funnels. For instance, IRAs, 401ks, etc. are pre-tax vehicles. And although they grow tax-deferred, every dollar comes out of them is taxed at ordinary income rates. After-tax accounts, which could be your individual joint or trust accounts, contain money that's already been taxed, but any growth will be taxed at the usually preferential capital gains tax rates. Then there are your tax-advantaged accounts, such as your Roth 401ks, your Roth IRAs, and your health savings accounts, which are created with after-tax dollars and grow tax-deferred. And every dollar that comes out of them will be tax-free as long as you follow specific rules. Number two, create tax-efficient withdrawal strategies. This step involves considering your long-term plans and executing them year to year to create a growth and tax-efficient paycheck in retirement that you cannot outlive. By understanding the order of money, the tax manager can decide which levers or funnels to pull each year in order to create the desired income with tax awareness and tax efficiently accounted for. Number three, measuring your brackets. This is all about understanding tax brackets at three distinct levels. What is your current top marginal rate? What is the top rate that you're forecasted to spend most of your time in retirement? And what is projected rate that will be served their surviving spouse will be in when they revert to a single taxpayer? We gather this information from a blueprint when we try to develop a retirement capital projection. But why is this information so important? Because armed with this data, we can do some forward-looking tax management. We can also take your tax return, we mentioned this many times, scan it into a program that we've got and sit here and play what-if games for you. So that's another real strong thing that we can offer. Step four, this covers all times phases of tax management. First, it's best to save when you're still working. Let's say that you have 5 years before you anticipate retiring. Where does it make the most sense to save? Is it your pre-tax retirement plans, the Roth side of your retirement plan, or should you build up your tax after-tax positions? The more tax diversification you have, the more strategies that they were creating for tax-efficient paychecks. Secondly, it's also about understanding how to get money out of your IRA and paying the least amount of tax possible. Once you measure your tax brackets in step three, we will begin to solve for this, i.e., if we know where we can get money out of the IRA today at 22% bracket, and you're projected to spend most of your retirement years in a 28% bracket, then Roth conversions may make some sense. And lastly, it's almost also essential to understand when you pay the tax from a legacy standpoint. If you're currently in a low tax bracket, surviving spouse will be in a higher bracket as a single tax filer, or you anticipate your beneficiary in a much higher bracket, then paying tax now by accelerating money out of the IRA before you have to may also make some sense. Number five is allocating your assets. Part of building your dream retirement portfolio is understanding which types of investments to hold and types of accounts. These types of investments, such as actively managed mutual funds, may be better off parked inside retirement accounts to avoid unexpected taxable capital gains distributions. Corporate bond interest is taxed at ordinary income rates, so why not put these inside of your IRAs where you give up nothing from a tax perspective? For taxable accounts, consider individual stocks. Individual stocks let you do some finely-tuned tax loss harvesting, enabling you to build a war chest of losses to offset current and future taxable gains. They also allow for easier tax gain harvesting to reset capital costs per basis on concentrated positions to avoid runaway gains. And number six, there's gifting. This is a very situational and customized step. We look at this through two lenses, charitable gifting and interfamily gifting. This is where the point, when it put out, don't want to give Uncle Sam more than necessary. He's not even your real uncle. These are strategies out there that can be implemented, such as qualified charitable distributions or QCDs, charitable remainder trusts, gifting up, gifting down. The tax manager will understand which strategy to recommend. And number seven, managing your dynamic bracket. The final step is understanding how your different forms of income, distributions, dividends, interest, gains, and losses stack up from each other and impact your ultimate tax bill. If you throw Social Security's provisional income calculations into this, watch out for the wacky things and how wacky they can become. It is important to understand the tax traps that come with retirement age, such as Social Security tax torpedo, IRMA, which is income-related monthly adjustments, surcharges, and loss of some specific state deductions on retirement account distributions. It is important to understand how large your future required minimum distributions are going to become. So the bottom line, these seven steps underscore the pivotal role of tax planning and retirement income, investment, and tax strategies. Coordinated strategies have the potential to extend the lifespan of your wealth. As you navigate towards financial security, remember, it's not just about returns on investment, it's how much you actually keep. Take charge today to ensure that your financial future withstands the fit tests of time. Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI. We'll be right back.
When you buy a Subaru from Dewey Griffin, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family and reliability. Simply put, you're buying trust. Check out the huge inventory of new and pre-owned Subarus online today at DeweyGriffinSubaru.com. From the 8-passenger Ascent to the Forester Impreza and the all-new Crosstrek. Plus, get up to 1.9% APR financing on select new 2024 Subaru Outbacks. Dewey Griffin, community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru certified tire and service center in Whatcom County.
You love what you find at Wilson's.
Celebrate the savings you'll find at Wilson's Furniture during their 27th anniversary sales event happening right now. Save store-wide on hundreds of items throughout Wilson's huge showroom. It's Wilson's biggest and best anniversary sales event ever on Pacific Highway in Ferndale.
My hospital stay would have cost $25,000, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Sign up for the CHS Northwest Propane Autofill Program and receive a cellular tank monitor with no monitoring fees. Plus, you'll be able to review your daily tank level readings from your smartphone or tablet. CHS Northwest, everything you need for home and farm. Online at chsnw.com.
We don't have the usual traffic jams that they have in the big city, but sometimes things happen to snarl everything up. Depend on KGMI to keep you cruising to your destination with KGMI traffic alerts. We'll tell you where the trouble spots are. And if you see problems on the road, give us a call at 360-676-5464 so we can spread the word. KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back to Wealth Wake Up. Dick Donahue with you this Sunday morning. As always, you got questions for me, give me a call, 360-733-1200. Well, going to talk a little bit. This time of year, people just filed their tax returns. In some cases, they found out that Maybe they put too much money into their IRA. So let's talk about 10 points that you can follow in order to fix those excess IRA contributions. So it is that season to identify and correct those excess contributions. And to keep on a straight and narrow, there are 10 details about excess IRA contributions and the correction process. Number one, excess contributions occur for many reasons, including exceeding the annual IRA contribution limit, making a contribution without eligible compensation, exceeding the Roth IRA phase-out limits, rolling over ineligible dollars like a required minimum distribution, rolling over dollars after the 60-day period has expired, etc. The second point is the deadline to correct these excess contributions without penalty is generally October 15th of the year after the year of the excess. So that means if you did create an excess last year, you have until October 15th of this year to correct it. And the third point is corrections initiated on or before October 15th deadline avoid that 6% excess contribution penalty that could be made via two ways. Either one, withdrawing the excess plus its earnings, called net income attributable or NIA, or to recharacterize the excess plus any gains or losses from a Roth IRA to a traditional IRA or vice versa. Number four, the NIA is taxable in the year in which the contribution was made. So that means that if you did put away money, extra money, you do have to pay tax on it. So the earnings on that excess contribution made in 23, even if fixed in 24, are reportable on your 23 return. And the fifth point, IRS Publication 590 includes a worksheet to calculate NIA. Earnings are based on overall IRA account performance, not just on the investments where the excess dollars sit. And number six, since corrections made by October 15th of the year after the year of the excess will not have a 6% penalty, it is not necessary to file IRS Form 5329. Also, there is no penalty on the NIA, only the taxes due. Secure 2.0 eliminated that 10% penalty on NIA for those that are under 59.5. Number seven, after October 15th deadline, excess contributions can be corrected by withdrawing the contribution or by carrying it forward to use in future years. Recharacterization is no longer available after the deadline. The 6% penalty applies, and each year the excess remains as of December 31st. The penalty is paid via Form 5329. Point number eight, after a deadline, the NIA can remain in the account. That's odd, but true. When a correction is made after October 15th, only the excess amount that you put in, not the earnings, needs to be withdrawn. In situations where an excess contribution remained for many years, the 6% penalty applies for each year, and a separate Form 5329 is required for each year. And finally, the Secure 2.0 created a 6-year statute of limitation for correcting excess IRA contributions. However, in a recent case, the U.S. Tax Court ruled that the statute of limitations is not retroactive. This means that the IRA owners cannot avoid correcting excess contributions made for years before 2022. They must be addressed. Bonus info, in the tax court case mentioned above, the excess contribution was over $25 million, and the applicable penalty was nearly $8.5 million. So we do suggest that you avoid such situations. And we run in discussions all the time where different clients are planning to move, and they're looking at tax burdens in different states. And so let's talk a little bit about the states that have the lowest overall tax burden. You know, it's easy to feel the burn of taxes in April when you file your income tax return. But we pay other taxes too, like sales taxes and property taxes that vary from state to state. Unlike tax rates, which vary widely based on individual circumstances, tax burden measures the proportion of total personal income that residents pay towards state taxes. It isn't uniform across the U.S. either. To determine the residents with the largest tax burdens, WalletHub compared the 50 states based on costs of three types of taxes: property taxes, individual income taxes, and sales and excise taxes as a share of total personal income in the state. Here's what they found. Total tax burden, where it's highest, The state of New York is about 12%. Now, that amounted to 4.6% on income taxes, 4.4% of income on property taxes, 3% of income on sales and excise taxes. New York is followed by Hawaii at 11.8%, Vermont at 11.2%, Maine 10.74%, California at 10.4%, and Connecticut at 10.08%. The tax burdens were lowest in Alaska at 4.9%, no income tax, 3.5% of income in property taxes, 1.4% of income on sales and excise taxes. And Alaska is followed by New Hampshire at 5.63%, Wyoming at 5.7%, Florida at 6.05%, Tennessee at 6.07%, and Delaware at 6.43%. Then let's take a look at property taxes. Highest was Maine at 4.9% of residents' income. The lowest was Alabama at 1.3% of income. If we look at sales and excise taxes, highest is Washington, the state of Washington. Yes, that's here. 4.9% of residents' income. Now, this doesn't include, and I'm going to mention this in a minute ago, in the income tax, this doesn't include the capital gains tax that just was put in. The lowest is New Hampshire, no sales tax. Excise taxes are less than 1% of the average resident's income each year. And then income taxes. The highest is California, an average of 4.9% of residents' income. Again, the lowest, Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, and Wyoming, again, without an income tax. However, as we know, the state of Washington has passed that capital gains tax, and our legislature, we'll see what happens if you get rid of it here on this year's November ballot. But if you don't, look out. That legislature is going to expand that income tax. Anyway, Dick Donahue with you with Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. You got questions for us, always give me a call. Don't forget our live show at 11 o'clock on Saturdays. Thanks, and have a great week.
Voiced on the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.